Partnership between the two countries, along with political, economic, social, defense, and security cooperation. Lavrov's successful visit to the continent and planned Russia-Africa summit and economic forum in July are testimonies that West, the U.S. in particular, have failed in their plots to isolate Russia internationally. Visit by the Russian diplomat to South Africa refurbished the common pursuit of the two countries for upholding world peace and security and promoting global development and prosperity. With South Africa hosting the summit of five emerging economies, commonly known as BRICS, this year, the ruling African National Congress has suggested that Pretoria could use the chairmanship to push for the admission of new members to expand the bloc and challenge the global arrogance. In the words of Pender herself, the current global geopolitical tensions clearly signal the need to create institutional mechanisms that will have the stature from the global trust to promote and support global peace and security. BRICS should play a proactive role in emerging processes and ensure it is part of a redesigned global order. Recent joint naval drills involving South Africa, Russia, and China, despite U.S. criticism, show these countries' resolve to stand against the global dominance of some powers. Pender argued that hosting such maneuvers with what she called friends were part of the natural course of relations. Nevertheless, the popular resentment against the West, the U.S., the U.K., and France in particular, are on the rise due to their historic oppression on the continent. Anti-West sentiment could be clearly seen in nationwide protests in Burkina Faso, with demonstrators condemning former colonizer France while waving Russian flags. Growing dissatisfaction with France is largely visible in other former colonies across Africa, including Mali. At this moment, the unity is an anti-colonial power structure seemed to be of high urgency for African nations. A change from unipolar to multipolar arrangement is another need, especially for East African countries that are embroiled in power politics. These could uplift not only the continental stature, but a unified power to reckon with. However, this major paradigm shift can be duly achievable if countries across the African continent come together and stand firm against the West imperialism.
Your option, our task. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
Under the starry sky of the desert, from the very heart of evergreen forests, with the radiance of silver-colored sand, in the midst of proud mountains, closer, Iran,
hello, I am Mitra. An Iranian nature traveler. to know more about the wonders and beauties of magnificent Iran, keep me company.
Dear passengers, welcome to Kashan.
This announcement means we have gone through half the way in our attractive journey to Yazd province. I am really eager to see Dolatabad Garden. You know, Persian gardens are very unique in the world. However, Dolatabad Garden is a jewel of Persian architecture. Must be a very different garden. Dolatabad Garden in Yazd, central Iran, is among the most iconic landscapes of Iran with distinctive properties, picture postcard views of water stream, and the historic Persian pavilions. The garden, which spans an area of 72,000 square meters, attracts a wide range of visitors to offer a memorable glimpse on the coexistence of ancient history and beautiful nature. This is one of the 9 Iranian gardens listed by UNESCO under the common title of Persian Gardens. The garden was built about 300 years ago as a residence for Muhammad Taghi Khan, also known as the Great Khan, who governed Yazd in the 18th century. The complex has been built according to the original Iranian architectural style and consists of a large garden and a number of buildings. Like other Persian gardens, water plays an important role in the ornamentation of the Dolatabad garden. There are several kanats, waterways, and ponds within the garden. The lush garden is a paradise where different trees like pine and cypress, various flowers like roses and fruit trees like grape and pomegranate abound, offering a green carpet panorama. This complex includes a southern frontispiece building, a vestibule building, and a wind catcher, a summer building, Behesht or Paradise Building, a Mirror Hall Building, the Tehrani Building, the main frontispiece building, and a double-spanned water cistern. The soaring 34-meter-high wind catcher, the highest one in Iran, makes the state really unique, creating a spectacular vista. Dolatabad's famous wind catcher has octagonal panels that guide the wind inside the building.
Attention, train to Yazd is arriving on time at platform number 5. time, be attention. Train to Tehran is leaving on time at platform number four.
Taxi? My destination is Chahar Minar neighborhood. Dolat Abad Garden, please. One of the old neighborhoods of Yazd is Chahar Minar neighborhood, located in the center of the city. Chahar Minar is an area that includes the largest historical texture of Yazd in terms of area. This neighborhood is the only historical neighborhood of Yazd, the monuments of which have been inscribed by UNESCO in two periods. Dolat Abad Garden, along with eight other Iranian gardens, was the first place inscribed in 2011. Sir, is there a long way to Dolat Abad Garden?
Not a long way to go. We usually have no traffic here in Yazd.
Well, here it is. I've heard that once this street was home to a lot of trees. Tall trees which overshadowed this garden. Oh, God. The wind catcher is appearing. Wow, look at it. Such wind catchers are only seen in Iran. It's about 34 meters. It's octagonal, which lets the wind be directed into the building in every way. The wind which enters the building strikes the pool's water and then creates cool air inside the building. Imagine such a cool place in the heart of the desert. And I love these fountains. What a nice feeling is to be here. Wish you were here, honestly. And let me tell you something interesting. The main source of water in this garden is Dolat Abad Kanat, or as we Iranians say, Kanat. Water streams are flowing in almost all parts of the garden. It's amazing. Let me enter the vestibule building. Here is actually the main pavilion of the garden and is mostly considered by its tall wind catcher. There is a marble pool in the middle of the pavilion. It's beautiful. And three spacious chambers. Oh, I love the arches of these windows and these colorful glasses. Oh, fascinating. I wish I lived in such a place for my whole life. This is just one of the pavilions of the garden. I wish I could describe all these beauties for you, but as they say, art is long, but time is short. Without any exaggeration, nowhere does have such amazing monuments like my beautiful Iran.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. what you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Economic divide.
It's a major breakthrough. Russian-Iranian banks linked together to international banks. Iranian-Russian banks no longer needed to use SWIFT, the long arm of illegal U.S. sanctions cut off. Is this the end of the weaponization of the U.S. dollar? What will be the impact on the economies of Russia and Iran? Those topics and more coming up in today's edition of Economic Divide. Some of the highlights: the Russia-Iran banking system includes 700 Russian and 106 foreign banks, 13 countries, Iran's CEPAM, and Russia's SPFS financial messaging system. That's how they're connected. Then, U.S.-Western sanctions. Well, this system is an alternative to SWIFT. Sanctions, they are going to be ineffective when it comes to Russia and Iran's bilateral trade. And also, a link with China and India in order to do more trade. And then we'll take a look at the trade that occurs between Iran and Russia. The volume, more than $4 billion last year. Russian investment in Iran is also at a record high. And of course, this involves trade in national currencies.
For years, Iran's various industrial and business sectors have been under U.S.-led Western sanctions. One of those sectors which have been targeted by the West has been Iran's banking sector. And since the beginning of the war in Ukraine, Russia has become the target of various U.S. and European sanctions. Russian banks have been hit by various restrictive measures over the past year. Now Russia and Iran have come up with a new measure to circumvent sanctions for joint business efforts. Iran and Russia have connected their interbank communication and transfer systems. The measure is aimed at helping boost trade and financial transactions. Banks in the two countries that connected their messaging networks following agreements reached over the past year. At the end of January, the creation of a direct communication channel between Russian and Iranian banks was realized through the synchronization of national financial messaging systems, which are the SPFS and SEPAM, or CEPAM. The move would allow cross-border transactions without using the Western financial messaging system, SWIFT. About 700 Russian banks and 106 non-Russian banks from 13 different countries will be connected to this system.
Time now for our online social media posts. What was clear sifting through these social media posts were, even though many realized how big a news this was, they perhaps were not aware of the enormity of what this would mean when it came to trade without using the dollar or the common payment system known as SWIFT. So here goes. First up, Iran and Russia have taken a key step toward linking their banking systems in a move that further boosts their cooperation in the face of Western sanctions. An Iranian official has said that. Our next post, Iran and Russia merged banking systems. They launched their own payment system after SWIFT ban. The new system will connect 700 Russian banks and 106 foreign banks from 13 other countries. Russia plans using it to increase trade volume with Iran to $10 billion. In 1 year. Let's hope that happens. All right, next post. For decades, America has weaponized the dollar, imposing economic sanctions on any country that doesn't toe their line. There's now a global movement to de-weaponize the dollar. This is just one of the many things that are happening, along with the Saudis' oil for any currency. All right, so there you have it, the social media posts, but let's find out what our guests think. Let me introduce them. Tim Kirby, Ideological Director, a Eurasia Research Fellow and Multimedia Project Director for Syncretic Studies, joins us. Tim Kirby, welcome to Economic Divide. Taking a look at this merger, or linkage, I should say, of Iran and Russia's banking system, 700 Russian banks to 106 foreign banks from 13 other countries. It's been in the works for a while. Of course, I'm sure you know that. First, please explain why Russia and Iran felt the need to link their banking systems all together. And, of course, what are the benefits behind this move from the two countries?
Well, one of the reasons is that for both Iran and Russia, there's absolutely no risk to doing this because they're the two most sanctioned countries on earth that were both turned off from the SWIFT system, right? So essentially, them starting this network provides no risk. Now, with other countries joining it, we sort of get into this sort of political gamesmanship where other countries joining something that already exists, they're probably not going to be kicked off the SWIFT system. Why? Because if the West kicks everyone off, then the system dies and it can no longer be used as a threat. Because being turned off from SWIFT was something that was very much holding Russia especially in place for many, many years. But now that Russia is off of it and has survived, much like Iran was able to do, it really opens up the door to a lot of new partnerships and communication. We can't forget that even in his most recent speech on the anniversary of the war, President Putin made it a point to point out that the Russian economy has survived the largest quantity of sanctions in human history, completely unjustified, and that de-dollarization is basically part of Russia's national policy and is one of its most important strategic goals. And this partnership with Iran is part of that de-dollarization mission.
All right, let's go along with that notion of de-dollarization. Let me introduce our next guest, Vyacheslav Mutuzov, who's a former Russian diplomat, joins us. Vyacheslav Mutuzov, welcome to Economic Divide. This de-dollarization notion is something that's one of the key pillars of the linkage between Iranian and Russian banks, which I'm sure you're well aware how this will then help not evade, but it will make useless U.S. sanctions. So Russia and Iran can conduct their financial business based on the system that they have set up through the infrastructure. How much of a benefit is that going to be for both countries without the West interference at this point?
Anyhow, all now decisions from the United States and Western Europe, they showed that fighting Russia in economical and diplomatical and political field is on the ground. So I think that banking system that existed before the military operation of Russia in Ukraine against NATO organizations, they put ahead the idea of changing free economy relations to strictly controlled by the U.S. banks on U.S. or British banks on world system, banking system. I think that Russia, after this, all those measures that undertaken by the United States Congress and the European Union too, followed by other countries, I think that they pushed Russia to the one choice, to find opportunity to make economical relations with the world, with friendly countries, as they say, on a different base.
Time now for the InfoNews section of the program. We pick four topics from around the world to find out what's going on in those parts of the world economically. First up, we go to Brazil. And the news we picked concerns mining. There's been a crackdown in that country. Brazil urged to widen illegal gold mining in a Brazilian town. Now, 20,000 miners were accused of causing a humanitarian crisis among an estimated 28,000 tribes of a tribe by the name of Yanomami. These are tribes that are in the Amazon. How the Amazon is suffering not only because of its natural vegetation, i.e. trees, but also in terms of gold mining. Next up, a claim that's a term that's been used for China, it being the factory of the world. Well, there's now a piece of news that says China is no longer viable as the world's factory. But we beg to differ. Kyocera came and said that. But BHP has taken a $1 billion hit from inflation, but is optimistic on China and also on India's growth. So if it's optimistic on China, including India, then that shows that China is still increasing its output, so to speak. Next up, a big worry for this entity by the name of Israel. Israel is suffering economically. The reason? Protest. Protest leaders have called for the shutdown of the economy for the second consecutive week. When you watch this program, it'll be the third consecutive week. This follows strikes across all sectors in what has been called Black Monday. And finally, we take a look at China and sanctions. Well, China sanctions two very large military manufacturing companies that are also known for fighter jets, namely Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, this being over Taiwan arms sales. China said the U.S. firms were put on an unreliable entities list owing to weapon sales to Taiwan.
Economic Divide. The series looks at the financial health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economic Divide on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
Counter the U.S. actions, Iran and Russia, both of whom are subject to American sanctions, have strengthened their bilateral political and economic ties. Joining their banking systems makes complete sense in order to drop the dollar from their trade. First up, the infrastructure. Well, that has been completed in order to connect the what's called financial messengers between Iranian and Russian banks. All Iranian banks and all Russian banks can now have standard banking messages. In technical terms, the electronic financial messaging systems of Iran, which is called SEPAM, domestically, and the Bank of Russia, known as SPFS, would now be linked. Very important. That took a while for that to happen. Then, the Russian messaging system includes more than 106 banks in 13 foreign countries. This means that all Iranian banks abroad and all foreign banks connected to the Russian messaging system can exchange with Iranian banks. The Iranian banking network will also have a direct connection with 106 other foreign banks, and the system would connect about 700 Russian banks with these 106 banks in 13 foreign countries. All right. Now, both countries, though this is very noteworthy, have been disconnected from what's called SWIFT, that's the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications. Now, SWIFT, which is a payments financial system, it's been accused of being influenced by the West. And in this case, the U.S., which is no surprise really, has been accused of that. Basically, what the U.S. has done or has been accused of is overlooking how countries spend their money and then use that against them, as is the case against Iran and Russia. And then finally, advancing economic ties is central to the relationship, with bilateral trade growing at this point to $4 billion last year. That's the first time ever, and that's according to both Russian and Iranian officials. Now, the Iranian government has said that Russia has invested $2.7 billion in the country since the 13th administration, headed by President Ebrahim Raisi, came into power. And that's by far the largest investor in the sanctioned Iranian economy in the first year since 2021, the start of his presidency. All right, let's find out what our guest thinks Tim Kirby rejoins us, ideological director of the Eurasia Research Fellow and Multimedia Project Director for Syncretic Studies. Tim Kirby, welcome back. If Iran and Russia have linked their banking systems as they announced it, what are we looking at when it comes to the SWIFT? At this point, both are off the SWIFT system. They're now obviously connected by their own infrastructure for the financial exchanges. And this may also have China come into play. Are we looking at the U.S. being weakened in terms of the sanctions that they're imposing on these countries?
Well, yeah, China is definitely the big question because on the one hand, China really has gotten most of its wealth off of the West, sort of being the West's big factory. And, you know, losing its connection to the West would probably be very destructive for the Chinese, but also be extremely destructive for the West. But at the same time, China definitely can smell the way that the wind is blowing, especially after that Nancy Pelosi visit to Taiwan. That really sent a signal. China is feels it's under no moral obligation to maintain the dollar and could very well try to sort of hedge its bets by sort of joining maybe the Iranian-Russian system. I mean, already Russia and China have already sort of between themselves in a more less official way made it very easy to exchange money between these two countries.
All right, let's find out what Vyacheslav Mutazov thinks, the former Russian diplomat who rejoins us here. Vyacheslav Mutazov, welcome back to Economic Divide. When we take a look at how Russia and Iran have joined their banking systems, not too far from those two countries is China. I mean, China does quite a bit of business with Russia and also with Iran. If they are going to be connected and they are not going to use SWIFT, well, Russia and Iran are not, what are we looking at when it comes to the U.S.? Because it's sanctioned these two countries. Wouldn't that kind of be counter-effective against the U.S. sanctions that then they can proceed with their financial transactions?
I'm sure that Russia and Iran has common interests today in the world policy, in regional policy, in regional interests, Middle East and Far East. We have very good relations, they say strategical relations, with the Chinese Republic, People's Republic. But I think that China has very close ties, economical ties. It is tied with American economy. And that's why we don't consider that China is ready to come to Russia with its economical and financial help on supportive forces, real support, because they automatically will be under punishment of restrictions of American government, and that influence on the development of Chinese economy, Chinese project in the world. They avoid this decision that that endanger the situation, economical or political situation, inside the Chinese Republic.
SPFS is the Russian equivalent of the Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, or SWIFT. Its goal is to link it with other major powers like China and India. Iran's banking system was cut off from SWIFT after the former U.S. President Donald Trump reimposed sanctions on Iran in 2018. The connection of Iran's financial institutions and banks with Russia can allow Moscow and Tehran to further their bilateral trade ties. Bilateral trade between the two countries has grown to more than $4 billion for the first time ever. Iranian officials have said that with $2.7 billion, was by far the largest investor in the sanctioned Iranian economy in the first year since the August 2021. Throughout 2022, the countries reached a number of agreements expanding cooperation, from barter supply deals for Iranian turbines, spare parts, and aircraft equipment to contracts for the joint construction of natural gas pipelines.
به نظر میسه که ما هر چقدر بتونیم به اصطلاح مبادلاتمون رو در بحث اقتصادی و تجارت خارجی با روسا با پول خودمون باشه، یعنی با روبل و ریال باشه، قطعا کمک میکنه برای دور زدن تحریما و تو بحث رفع تحریما خیلی کمک کنه.
Has also joined the Russian-led Eurasian Economic Union, which ensures the freedom of movements of goods, services, and capital between the member states. Tehran and Moscow are also pursuing to strengthen the use of their national currencies and trade. The move is aimed at eventually weakening the hegemony of the U.S. dollar and the euro on their economies. In 2021, the share of settlements in national currencies exceeded 60%, and the positive trend continued last year.
Using a financial system to stop the long arms of the US and Western-led sanctions has been in the works for some time. In this quick take section, our aim is to look at what has been done so far. First, a look at what's called Russia's credit card, the Mir card, an alternative to international financial services like Visa and MasterCard. The Mir is a Russian card payment system for electronic fund transfers established by the Central Bank of Russia. More than 161 million were issued by the end of September, 161 million accepted throughout the Russian Federation as well as in a number of neighboring and other foreign countries, such as Iran. After Iran and Russia announced the linkage of their banking systems, Iran will be allowed to use the Mir card system since the infrastructure is now complete. The main candidates for these money transfer partnerships are countries that Iran has a free trade agreement with, including Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Armenia, all of which are members of the Eurasian Economic Union. We covered the linkage of Russia and Iran financial system in this program, which involved the union of Iran's SEPAM, Russia's SPFS, but Russia and China are also working on homegrown alternatives to the SWIFT payment system, China's cross-border interbank payment system, or CIPS, which processes payments in Chinese yuan, also has potential to replace SWIFT. The system has an expansive network of over 1,200 financial institutions. But what are China's intentions behind CIPS? China does have ambitions to make the yuan the most dominant reserve currency in the world, and this was most evident when it visited Saudi Arabia and asked GCC countries of the Persian Gulf, including Saudi Arabia, to settle oil and gas sales and their trade in the yuan. The key is getting these systems to all be synced in order to have a single platform to operate between countries that are aligned with each other. And let's not forget, that also includes the financial institutions, so there is still a bit of challenge there.
The Russia-Iran Banking Union is a major breakthrough in breaking the U.S. siege on countries that want to expand their economies, countries independent of U.S. foreign policy. The world has realized that, which is why financial payment systems are devised for use between these countries. The key is integrating these countries into using a system for all, minus the West and the U.S. in particular, who have played a destructive role in trying to stop economies like Russia, Iran, and even China from expanding through the use of sanctions and dollar weaponization. That does it for this edition of the program. Great to have you with us, as usual. From Mikhail Tavlyi and the entire team, it's goodbye until the next Economic Divide.
your option for today and a better tomorrow. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
As Western countries are lagging behind in global competition in scientific research and studies, China has succeeded in dramatically and stunningly surpassing the United States and the West in important and sensitive emerging technologies. China is transforming from an imitator to an innovator, following the path taken by its Asian neighbors, but on a much larger scale and with far greater geopolitical implications. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The British newsletter The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. A new report has said the United States and other Western countries are losing the race with China to develop advanced technologies and retain talent, with Beijing potentially establishing a monopoly in some areas. China leads in 37 of 44 technologies tracked in a year-long project by think tank the Australian Strategic Policy Institute. The fields include electric batteries, hypersonics, and advanced radio frequency communications such as 5G and 6G. The report published on Thursday, 2nd of March, said the United States was the leader in just the remaining seven technologies, such as vaccines, quantum computing, and space launch systems. It said the findings were based on high-impact research in critical and emerging technology fields, focusing on papers that were published in top-tier journals and were highly cited by subsequent researchers. The report said, "Our research reveals that China has built the foundations to position itself as the world's leading science and technology superpower by establishing a sometimes stunning lead in high-impact research across the majority of critical and emerging technology domains." The report added, "The critical technology tracker shows that for some technologies, all of the world's top 10 leading research institutions are based in China and are collectively generating 9 times more high-impact research papers than the second-ranked country, most often the United States." The report added the Chinese Academy of Sciences ranked first or second in most of the 44 areas of technologies included in the tracker. Referring to the intelligence-sharing grouping of US, Canada, the UK, Australia and New Zealand, it said, "We also see China's efforts being bolstered through talent and knowledge import. 1/5 of its high-impact papers are being authored by researchers with postgraduate training in the Five Eyes countries." Adding, "China's lead in the product of deliberate design and long-term policy planning, as repeatedly outlined by President Xi Jinping and his predecessors." The report said China's strides in nuclear-capable hypersonic missiles in 2021 should not have been a surprise to U.S. intelligence agencies, because, according to recent data analysis, over the past 5 years, China generated 48.49% of the world's high-impact research papers into advanced aircraft engines, including hypersonics, and it hosts 7 of the world's top 10 research institutions in this critical area of technology. The Al Jazeera television network has also covered this story and tells us more. According to the report by the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, China is in a position to become the world's top technology superpower, with its dominance already spanning defense, space, robotics, energy, the environment, biotechnology, artificial intelligence, advanced materials, and key quantum technology. According to the Critical Technology Tracker released on Thursday, 2nd of March, the key areas dominated by China include drones, machine learning, electric batteries, nuclear energy, photovoltaics, quantum sensors, and critical mineral extraction. ASPI, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, said the United Kingdom and India are among the top five countries in 29 of the 44 technologies, with South Korea and Germany making the top five in 20 and 17 technologies, respectively. Adding, China's growing prowess in critical technologies, which the think tank credited to long-term policy planning, should be a wake-up call for other developed nations. The Australian Strategic Policy Institute said in a commentary accompanying the report, "In the long term, China's leading research position means that it has set itself to excel not just in the current technological development in almost all sectors, but in future technologies as well, that don't yet exist." The think tank laid out 23 recommendations for Western countries and their partners and allies. They include establishing sovereign wealth funds to fund research and development, facilitating technology visas, friendshoring and research and development grants between nations, and pursuing new public-private partnerships. The United States and China are locked in a heated competition for power and influence that has spurred moves to decouple their economies. US President Joe Biden's administration has rolled out a raft of export controls and tax incentives aimed at hobbling China's technology industry and restoring domestic manufacturing in the United States. Recently, the US Department of Commerce added units of China's genetics company BGI and cloud computing firm Inspur to a trade blacklist for allegedly supporting the Chinese military and facilitating government surveillance. The Fortune magazine has also covered this story and tells us more. According to a report published by Japan's Science and Technology Ministry, China has overtaken the United States as the world's leader in both scientific research output and high-impact studies. The report, which was published by Japan's National Institute of Science and Technology Policy, or NISTP, recently found that China now publishes the highest number of scientific research papers yearly, followed by the United States and Germany in third place. The figures were based on yearly averages between 2018 and 2020 and drawn from data compiled by the analytics firm Clarivate. The Japanese NISTP, National Institute of Science and Technology Policy, report also found that Chinese research comprised 27.2% of the world's top 1% most frequently cited papers. The number of citations a research paper receives is a commonly used metric in academia. The more times a study is cited in subsequent papers by other researchers, the greater its citation impact. The US accounted for 24.9% of the top 1% most highly cited research studies, while Britain's research was in third place with 5.5%. The report found China published a yearly average of 407,181 scientific papers, pulling ahead of the United States' 293,434 journal articles and accounting for 23.4% of the world's research output. China accounted for a high proportion of research into materials science, chemistry, engineering, and mathematics, while US researchers were more prolific in research into clinical medicine, basic life sciences, and physics. The report was published months after US President Joe Biden signed the CHIPS and Science Act, legislation that would authorize $200 billion in research funding over 10 years to make U.S. scientific research more competitive vis-a-vis China. The Chinese embassy in the United States said last month that China was firmly opposed to the bill, which it said was entrenched in a Cold War and zero-sum game mentality. The high-impact finding is in keeping with research published recently, which found that China overtook the United States in 2019 in the top 1% measure and passed the European Union back in 2015. Study co-author Dr. Caroline Wagner said at the time, papers that receive more citations than 99% of research are works that are seen as being in the class of Nobel Prize winners and very leading edge of science, adding, the United States has tended to rank China's work as lower quality. This appears to have changed in recent times.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on October 3rd, 2022, during the joint graduation ceremony for the cadets studying in the academies of the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces. The ceremony was held in Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam University of Office and Police Training. And the great movement to defend the Holy Shrine, both in social services and in scientific developments, as you can see, advancements in any scientific field are in fact made by the youth. They are the ones who drive this movement. Furthermore, we have seen in religious ceremonies, such as the Arba'in Walk, how millions of young Iranians traveled the path from Najaf to Karbala and how millions more walked inside the country itself. Those who could not attend the Arba'in Walk in that spiritual environment walked in different cities inside Iran instead. In the fields of production and innovation, as you can see on television, our youth are bringing something new to the country's manufacturing and industrial sectors. Every day, everywhere you look, you see the exceptional presence of young people there. Whether it is in dealing with an epidemic, in a religious aid movement, cultural work, or in relief projects during natural disasters, such as floods, earthquakes, and the like. This young person is not going to despair. This young person is not going to detach himself or herself from his or her values. This young person is an inexhaustible force on the field. And of course, the young pious revolutionary youth have been leaders in all these fields. This is the current situation of our young people.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Well, with this point of view, if we look at your presence here, those who have gathered in the Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam University of Office and Police Training, and also those who are hearing this speech in other universities. Your presence and entry into the armed forces is a great asset. Your presence is a great asset. Of course, when it is alongside the experience of our veterans and the knowledge of the commanders. Strengthening the armed forces means strengthening the country. The armed forces are one of the strong pillars that strengthen the country. Of course, strengthening the country does not just depend on the armed forces. There are also other strong pillars. Scientific advancements are a source of the country's progress. The general faith of the people and the penetration of faith into people's hearts is a source of national strength.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio. Food tourism. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, if you remember in the previous episode, we briefly talked about a few foods in Kordkui region of Golestan province and made you familiar with the simple recipe of one food and one halva. In the fifth episode of this series, you will get familiar with the edibles of Turkmens as a big ethnicity in Golestan province. Stay tuned, please. Turkmens are originally from Central Asia and have lived as migrating tribes. They live in vast areas including Turkmenistan, parts of Russia, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and northeastern Iran. Turkmens speak in Turkmen language and form almost 2% of Iran's population, 1.5 million people. Turkmens of Iran live mainly in the southeast of the Caspian Sea, which straddles a vast region of Golestan province. Turkmens have a rich culture, which is manifested